Chapter 18, Imposter Syndrome. I have a bit of a contrarian opinion on imposter syndrome. First, I want to be clear that I'm not talking here about people who have a debilitating mental illness. I know people in this situation, and none would use the mild term imposter syndrome to describe the severe level of anxiety they deal with. That said, let me be clear that I believe imposter syndrome, as most people use that term, is a very real thing. In fact, I think most mentally healthy people, at least those that aren't egomaniacs, doubt themselves and can feel insecure about asserting their opinions on others. I, Marty, like to emphasize to the people I coach that this is a normal and healthy fear, and I share that I absolutely still feel the same way. Second, I think it's important to acknowledge that imposters are also a real thing. I find it very frustrating, especially in the product and design spaces, how many people on social media, authors of articles and books, and conference speakers are, at least in my personal opinion, advocating nonsense. I think imposter syndrome is a very healthy and necessary emotion, and an important signal from our minds. But most people misunderstand that signal. They think it's just natural fear and insecurities. Everyone has them, and they need to simply overcome their worries and push past them. But I interpret this signal very differently. It is my mind warning me of the consequences if I don't do my homework and truly prepare. The fear of looking clueless is what keeps me up late preparing, studying, thinking, writing, rehearsing, and iterating. Most important, the fear of looking clueless is also what pushes me to try out my article, talk, presentation beforehand on some people that I highly respect and I know will tell me honestly if I am not solid in my thinking or my delivery. The reason I know that my worries are not unfounded is because, more than a few times, those people have indeed saved me from myself. When I go to conferences, I too often hear speakers who, if they have imposter syndrome, clearly did not take the warning seriously. Should they be praised for overcoming their stage fright fears and getting in front of a group? To me, that's like giving a child a trophy just for showing up to the game. More generally, I see this as yet another example of where we need managers and leaders who care enough about their people that they are willing to devote the time and energy to coaching them. Whenever I see some product person deliver an underwhelming presentation to an executive team or a conference, my frustration is centered not on the product person, but rather on that person's manager. Why didn't she ensure the product person was prepared? Did she provide relevant, actionable, honest feedback? Did she insist on reviewing a draft or a rehearsal? If the topic was not in her area of expertise, did she ensure the product person had access to some people who could be counted on to provide useful and honest feedback? If the product person is especially nervous speaking in front of a group, many are, did the manager provide the product manager with several progressive opportunities to get used to public speaking or enroll the product person in presentation training? Empowered product teams are predicated on trust, especially the product manager having earned the trust of the executives. When a product manager appears unprepared or naive in front of the executives, that trust is diminished, and it will take a long time to regain it. Moreover, this is why I tell managers and leaders of product that they are only as strong as their weakest employee. Whether you're a product person or a product leader, there's no reason to be an imposter. Listen to your mind warning you of the consequences of not preparing. Seek out people you trust to give you honest and expert feedback, and iterate until they are satisfied that you are truly adding value.